Welcome back in. Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll get to the Titans and the top storylines heading into training camp later this week, coming up here in just a few minutes. But Joe, we started the show this way and just want to quickly bring it up again. Tough day yesterday here in our city with the passing of Mark Howard. Mark Howard has been around for a long time, both at News Channel 5 and obviously a radio show that was very successful around here that I grew up listening to. It was a treat to have Mark Howard in with us a few times, kind of doing some fill-in work for us here on the show. And I did some other things with Mark Howard throughout my career with the Predators. And last year got to do a Titans preview show with him as well. So I've been fortunate to run across Mark Howard pretty frequently throughout the course of my career, and just a really sad day yesterday. Our thoughts and prayers here at 102.5, 106.3 The Game are with his family, and just a tough day. I talked about it earlier. He was just always so kind, really what he didn't even have to be, to a guy like me who was 18 when I started, and he went out of his way to make me feel welcome. So just a really tough day yesterday.
Great guy and great at his job. And his various jobs just made a lasting impact here, and just like everybody seeing that yesterday, you know, from David Beauclair on Twitter was the first thing I saw about it. You know, it's just, you don't even think about that as a possibility, and it's way too young, and a guy who the. And we're going to have a little more on this later, too. But some of the testimonials and some of the outpouring for him really hit me, you know, how many people he affected. And it was always a blast hanging out with him. So I know a lot of people are hurting today.
Yep, no question. And we'll take your best Mark Howard memories throughout the show today on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. So it is opening week of training camp for the Titans, Joe Rex Road, and we're just a few days away now from them being on the field. As we look at this team and kind of break it down, we've been talking about them all offseason. We know what the intriguing position battles, I think, are going to be heading into training camp. But if you had to identify right now today your top storyline for this team heading into Titans training camp, what would it be? Where would you go with that answer?
So I want to make sure you're talking top storyline
just camp
for the camp.
Yep.
Not for the season. Because the season, I think it's, you know, for example, season, Derrick Henry. Camp, not really Derrick Henry at all.
I don't think he's going to do a whole lot.
He'll be in the sand pit. He'll catch some passes. And, you know, when the season's here, then they'll unveil him. And of course, Tannehill. I mean, that's, you know, there's a lot of camp. The biggest story, I think it's got to be Treylon Burks, even though, again, I feel like the Titans may have enough pass catching answers between receiver and tight end to make it so that Treylon Burks doesn't have to come out in the opener and be ready to be a number one receiver in the NFL. So, the offensive line to me is a bigger, I would say it's a bigger problem, but it's very close. But as far as just individual storylines, it's got to be Treylon Burks. You're talking about your first round pick. We know the story. AJ Brown's out. He's in a very tough spot of basically being asked to replace AJ Brown, but we know what happened in the spring. So from absolutely rep one, which the first stuff that we can look at, first practice is Wednesday, tomorrow of Rabel and Robinson and Ryan Cowden, all three talk, which is interesting. From that very first rep, all eyes are going to be on Treylon Burks.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it's going to be hot out there again this week at training camp, and we'll see if he can get on the field. I mean, I was talking with Corey Curtis about this yesterday, and we'll get his thoughts again coming up at 8 o'clock here today on the program. But just seeing him go through a practice, like once he goes through one and he's out there as a full participant, you know, obviously barring another setback, how quickly does that storyline go away? Is it first day? Oh, he's out there. He went through the whole thing. Cool. Ready to go. Like how much attention is going to be paid to Treylon Burks once he's out there and on the field and actually getting reps in. I'm interested to see that.
Yeah, well, and if he's just out there, if he's just out there, he can run some routes poorly and drop some passes and whatever, but at least he's out there. Okay, you move past the question of whether he's able to participate. Obviously, his conditioning and all that, very important, but then there's something tied to the asthma. And do they have it figured out? Do they have – is this time of year going to be better for him? I suppose it should be, right? I mean, this should be better now than it was in May.
Allergy-wise,
yeah. But then also his own conditioning. It's all tied together. It's probably more conditioning, I suppose, but I don't know. He doesn't want to talk about it. He'll still get asked about it.
Oh, yeah.
Vrabel, I guess, will get asked about it. But if he's participating, then that goes away. And then it's like, okay, how much work can you get in? How good can you get? How much chemistry can you build with Tannehill in the few weeks ahead? And then this is an interesting part of it, too, that I know some people would disagree with me. But I think Treylon Burks has got to have some series in preseason games.
I agree.
I'm sure the last one, no one's going to get a snap who's going to play in the opener. You know, preseason game 3 is what preseason game 4 used to be.
Yep.
But in those first two games, I think Treylon Burks needs to get work. He's got to be a contributing part of the receiver room. Look at the receiver room as it's constructed. I don't see like a Dez Fitzpatrick jumping up and getting game reps right now. I mean, I think he's going to make the team. I don't know that, but they got to have Treylon Burks on the field this season.
On the defensive side of the ball, is Caleb Farley the top storyline to you heading into this camp? I mean, look, there are high expectations for this defense. I think we all – maybe no is not the right word, but we have high expectations of what that the front is going to be for the Titans, even though, I mean, some people have them 20th best front in the league. But I think we all know around here that should be a pretty good strength for this Titans team. Is Caleb Farley – your clear number one storyline for the Titans defense heading into camp?
Yeah, I don't even know if there's a – is there a close – like, what's second after that? I guess you could look at –
I guess it could be introducing the rest of the National Football League to David Long Jr., but
– Yeah. I mean, it's like around here, if you follow this defense, there's a lot of certainty about it.
Yeah. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons and his contract,
yep,
would probably be – Maybe the main one heading in here, but is that going to have a resolution? Is it not? I mean, I guess it's fair to ask, is Jeffrey Simmons going to be on the field the first day of training camp?
Right, and that's the thing. That's one of those could-be stories that would be number one if it materializes, and it may. Could it possibly be another, whatever you want to call it, hold in? He'll be around but not on the field, and then we'll get to hear how that was the plan, you know, for Jeffrey to just do the mental reps. You know,
field bike.
That's what matters. Yeah. I don't know. So if that becomes a story, then it becomes number one. Although, honestly, even if that's the case, I still think they're going to figure it out one way or another. And that if he's in shape, to me, I don't worry too much about, you know, his preseason reps.
Right.
You know, we know what he can do. We know what he is as a player. They know what he is as a player. Those guys are all back after playing together last year and playing so well, so coordinated at times, you know, with the way they rush the passer. I mean, it's not like Derrick Henry exactly, where it's like, yeah, man, just get over in the shade there and, you know, get some Gatorade and we'll see you in September. But Jeffrey Simmons having some huge participation in camp, to me, is not a big deal. Now, if it drags on and on and on, then, you know, it's not great. You know, you'd like that to be resolved, but I'm very interested. If you tell me he's just going to come out and be out in camp and then they'll try to work on the contract, I wouldn't be surprised by that either. I'm not convinced that he's going to act on this at this point.
I'm interested too in, you know, Rashad Weaver. He showed some flashes last year in preseason, and you know, you talked about it when the Titans took him out of Pitt. You know, he's got a lot of tools that you feel good about and translating to the NFL level. Obviously, the injury last year, you didn't get to see that very much. You know, is he healthy? And if so, how big of a factor can he be? Obviously, He's not going to be a starter this year for the Titans, but if he could come in and give you some valuable reps and, you know, give some guys some break that are starting out there, Rashad Weaver is a guy that I think will get some playing time in the preseason if he's healthy and able to do so, that I'll have my eye on pretty closely out there.
Yeah, I agree. He's a guy you should not sleep on as Titans fans and as opposing teams out there this year. I think he could be interesting. I think he could make a difference. Another part of the defense that's interesting is inside linebacker depth is something to look at. Monty Rice is on the PUP list to start camp.
Yep.
You know, he could come off at any time, but the fact that he's starting camp out on that is not ideal. You're talking about the guy who, by the construction of this roster, has got to be your third linebacker in there. So if he's on the PUP list, you know, how are they looking there? Do they have enough depth? I think depth at inside linebacker and depth at safety are both things to watch.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans heading into training camp this week. What's your number one storyline for the Titans that you're paying attention to? 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So we're discussing the storylines heading into Titans training camp. The offense as a whole, number one, I'm interested to see when you start to get into competitive drills, can Austin Hooper continue to make plays? He was, by a lot of accounts, one of the stars of the minicamp and the offseason period. I think the Titans, most people agree with this, are probably going to have more two tight end sets this year than we saw a year ago. Austin Hooper, I think, is a pretty clear upgrade over Anthony Firkser last year as the starting tight end. So can he continue to develop that chemistry with Ryan Tannehill? Because, I mean, you brought up the Treylon Burks part of this. I think that makes the chemistry between Hooper and Tannehill all the more important early on, because it may be a while before Treylon Burks gives you something. Now, maybe it's not. Maybe Burks comes out and he's had a great couple of weeks and he's ready to go. And by the time the Giants game comes around to begin the season, he's ready to help and he can contribute right away. I'm not taking that possibility off the table. But I think when you factor in how his offseason has gone, and basically when you factor in he's a rookie, it takes rookies some time to develop and contribute in this league, I think it makes the continued chemistry of Hooper and Tannehill all the more important.
Yeah, no question. And it's, you could look at it too, like on both fronts with rookies, how much are you going to get from not just Burks but then Okonkwo at tight end?
Yeah.
I have my hesitation on expecting too much from Okonkwo like this year, but it's still a nice addition. I think there's definitely potential there, and this is where coaching staff needs to find situations to get him involved in, and because they've got to stretch everything they've got on the pass catching front. And you're gonna get, I think, a good season from Robert Woods, but you're not gonna have like some earth-shattering season, like a good season, good player. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, he's going to be out there, and I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities. I think he's going to produce, he's going to have to produce. And Hooper, for sure. I do feel like that's going to end up being, I think that's going to end up being the best free agent signing, although Robert Woods also very good. But I think Hooper is going to return them to really having mismatches and production consistently from the tight end position, which they, of course, didn't get at all last year.
Ron on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, my top three concerns going into training camp is, number one, the offensive line and the depth, two, wide receivers and its depth, and third, Tannehill and how he adjusts to new faces and adversity. You know, we've talked about the offensive line part of this in minicamp when there's no pads on and there's not hitting going on out there. How much are you really going to learn? Well, that's going to start to change as the shells come on at some point during training camp and the pads, and you start to have more contact in training camp. We're going to learn a little bit more about where this offensive line is. And, you know, we can talk so much about wide receiver and can Derrick Henry have a bounce back year, all these things. But, Joe, you know this, and you brought this up a lot last year. Bottom line is, if you can't block, it's going to be tough to move the ball offensively. So you lost Roger Saffold, which, by the way, glad he's okay starting off on the non-football injury list. Got in a car accident and injured his rib. So hopefully for a speedy recovery for Saffold up there in Buffalo. But you lose him. We'll see what how the hole you could fill at right tackle, who's going to be there. You know, is Aaron Brewer good enough to be your starting left guard? There's a lot of questions on the offensive line that right now we just simply don't have the answer to.
Yeah, so I'm with you, Ron, on top concern. You know, I think the depth part of it could be okay, but my question is, okay, so you've got some swing. Someone will be a swing tackle. Someone will be a swing interior lineman. But do you have two starters?
Right.
You know, do you have two people you feel good about starting? And I just, Roger Saffold, you can't isolate one offensive lineman, you know, too much and say, like, this guy was a bit, you know, this guy's why Derrick Henry, you know, had like 733 of his 2,000 yards that year or whatever. But, man, he was a big part of the whole thing. He is outrageously good as a run blocker. When he can get out there, he blots out the sun, and they're going to miss that. Taylor Lewan's going to miss that. Do either of these two guys over there, Jones or Brewer, come close to that?
Yeah.
And then, of course, at right tackle. Very important position. And Dylan Raiduns is right up there to me with like Caleb Farley and, sure, and Treylon Burks. But maybe Nicholas Petit-Frere is ready as a rookie to push him and take that job. I wouldn't rule that out right now. I think Raiduns, like, first rep of this camp with the ones offense, it'll be Raiduns. It'll be Raiduns and probably, I'm not sure at left guard actually who would start as a one. I think that's really interesting. But I think
Marco Jones an option there. Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's Marco Jones or Aaron Brewer. But that to me seems like a very open competition. And then right tackle, I think Petit-Frere could make a run at this in camp, which I guess you could look at two ways. You could say, "Wow, nice pick. Ohio State rookie," or you could say, gosh, Raiduns, you can't hold off the rookie. I mean, either way, can the Titans out of that find a decent starter? Can the Titans out of left guard find a decent starter? 40% of your offensive line. Not to mention, I think Taylor Lewan's going to be very good this year.
Right.
I think so. I think Nate Davis is going to have a big bounce back here. I think so. And Ben Jones is a great leader and has been a very good player, tremendous Titan. Guy gets hurt a lot. You know, and so you have that too, and you need to feel good about probably Brewer probably is you're going to be your backup center. So at times this year, you may see Brewer and Jones together. I mean, that's – but that depth, I'm with you. That to me is number one. The way this team wants to play football, last year, Ryan Tannehill's year, I think, had a lot to do with protection that went south. And you don't want that to be the case in the running game. They still had a really good run blocking season, but just lost your best run blocker.
Got another text that says, the biggest concern is what version of Lewan do we get this year? In my opinion, the offensive line follows him. That's coming from a texter on the text line. I mean, it's going to be a requirement for him to be really good this year for this offensive line to have a chance, in my mind. Like, he's got to be vintage Taylor Lewan this year. And
I agree.
You know, I don't know that he ever got to vintage Taylor Lewan at the end of last year, but it was obvious once he got healthy that he was not the turnstile that people were saying he was out there to begin the season. So He seems to be healthy now. Everything seems to be good on that front. Can he be vintage Taylor Lewan from start to finish this year? If he can, then I feel a whole lot better in this, about this offensive line.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very good version of him. I think he's going to be very good. But I actually think that could happen, and it could still be a big problem up front. You know, but I agree that you start there. You know, you start there, the most important position, your best player, Pro Bowl caliber player when he's right and healthy. And he's not appearing on any of these top 10 left tackles in the NFL list or whatever anymore. But he said it himself, and I believe him. You know, in the spring, it's just such a different offseason when you're not worried about trying to rehab an ACL tear. So I think he's going to be very good. He's also just – he doesn't know who's next to him, and that's been a real nice thing with him and Saffold since Saffold figured it out early in the 2019 season and they kind of got on a roll, or I guess midway through that season.
Well, and, you know, we talk about the run game part of this with Saffold, but it was Saffold and Lewan together in the running game where at its peak,
yes,
it was so good. And, you know, we talk about Lewan, you got to be better in pass protection, and obviously – that's the number one thing he's probably judged by. But whoever it is at left guard, whether it's DeMarco Jones or Aaron Brewer, like Lewan being at the best version of himself, fully mobile, athletic as he is in the running game, is really important there too. Because those two together, Saffold and Lewan, made that left side an absolute pain to deal with for the defense in the running game.
Yeah, we'll look back at the New England game last year was probably – as good an example of, you know, they had Hilliard and Foreman, whoever got the ball. There were some plays in that game where it was like those two were just completely clearing out a side of the field. So very athletic. And that's you're right. Taylor Lewan gets judged most on pass protection. Of course, the left tackle in the NFL. It's a passing league. But as a run blocker, his athleticism and ability to get downfield, get to the next guy, it's pretty special. So he needs some help over there.
Yeah, no question about it. Coming up next, we'll get into the Ryan Tannehill part of this discussion. How do we feel about Tannehill heading into this year? Given everything that's happened this offseason, where do we think he is, and what sort of a season do we think he's going to have with the Titans this year? We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to see Jamie Johnson coming up at First Bank Amphitheater on Thursday, August 25th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Jamie Johnson coming up at First Bank Amphitheater on Thursday, August 25th, 615-737-1025. Right now talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the passing of Mark Howard as well. That at about 30 minutes. Coming up at 8 o'clock with Corey Curtis from News 2. So, Joe, heading into camp, it's been a busy offseason for Ryan Tannehill. There's a whole lot that's gone on. We've talked about the lack of weapons and especially more specifically his top passing target out the window. Psychologically, heading into this year, you know that the Titans have just drafted Malik Willis. You know what happened in the playoff game in Cincinnati. Tannehill has been very open about how that game affected him and what he's had to do to try to recover from that game in the aftermath. Where do you think he is heading into this season? And as you watch him through camp, knowing that eventually it's going to come down to, can he get back to the playoffs? Can he win a game in the playoffs? Like, those conversations are not going to go away when it comes to Ryan Tannehill. How do you view him heading into this camp with everything that's taken place since last January against Cincinnati.
Well, I think he's probably in as good a place as you can be in, all things considered. I thought that really had a couple really good press conferences for whatever those are worth. Had a couple really good press conferences, one of which got hijacked by one word.
It did.
But it was a good press conference, and it was pretty revealing. And I thought that was good for him to talk about how much it bothered him. It obviously bothered the whole city of Nashville and the entire Titans fan base. So I thought he did that stuff right after, again, a poor start, you know, in the aftermath of the performance in the playoffs. Clearly, you know, he should have been there. He should have taken more responsibility, but he ultimately did. And I think he's in a good place to be good this year. I don't know. I guess he had a kids camp yesterday, and I saw, like, see, I got to give proper credit on this. Someone had like a tweeted video of him throwing a pick,
yeah,
which is pretty funny.
In fairness, the kid dropped it.
Oh, did the kid drop the pick?
Well, the kid dropped the pass, and it got tipped up in the air and then picked.
Well, hey, you know what? That pick goes on the quarterback.
It does.
Still.
It does.
What do the stats say? I know. That's all I know.
I know.
I think he's – I don't know what we're going to learn during camp. I do know last year he did throw more picks in camp than he had the previous one. So – I kind of blew that off. Like, yeah, he's letting it rip. You know, he knows this offense could be ridiculous. Why not take some chances? Why not help that terrible defense get a little better? But he threw a lot more picks during the season too. So it's not like there's nothing to take from his camp performance. But he's going to play very little in the preseason, and we're going to find out in the fall. In the meantime, again, I think he's a big asset for the Titans as a leader, and I think on the offense, you know, he's going to help guys get ready for the season. He's got to take a big amount of responsibility, I think, for Treylon Burks getting ready. He's got to spend the extra time with him, and I have no doubt that he'll spend every second he can with him as long as Burks can do it.
I am interested to see, I mean, just in terms of the human side of this, like he's got to – the mentor stuff aside – like, he's got to realize, or at least have thought about, you know, they just drafted a quarterback in the third round. There's a lot of noise on me right now. Like, mentally, how do you handle that? Because, really, I mean, from the moment, for the most part, that he stepped in as starting quarterback here in Nashville, he's done really well. The team's done a whole lot of winning. You know, even the game against Baltimore in the playoffs where they lost the game and he didn't play well, it was okay. Well, he didn't play well in that game. Needs to play better next time the playoffs come around. But, you know, he threw 33 touchdowns and 7 picks that year. He's pretty darn good that season. Last year was a different story for Tannehill. Like, mentally, just handling that from – forget the on-the-field production, the losing A.J. Brown, the offensive line, all the tangible factors that go into how he's going to perform this year. Like, mentally, how do you respond to what's going to be probably the most challenging set of circumstances that he's had since being a quarterback here in Nashville, at least?
Yeah, this is the worst offense that he's been in. Now, that could change, and a lot of individual answers could come, and it could end up not being the case. If last year's Titans defense is any indication, we can all be very, very wrong.
We can.
When we look at something on paper and think it's one thing, it becomes something totally different. But on paper, I mean, he came into it. Well, I guess I should amend that. Is it the worst offense? Maybe the offense he directly took over 6 games into 2019 was worse because the offensive line was a mess and they just had nothing going on. But they quickly got better, and he was the main factor there. The offensive line also completely transformed from the beginning to the end of that season. Remember, Taylor Wan missed the first 4 games.
Still a remarkable transformation.
Incredible. Incredible. I can't think of anything within one season that can compare to that. But this offense right now, this offensive line, we've talked about it. It's a big question mark. Will the running game be really good? Because it has to be. That's Derrick Henry, but it's also the offensive line. And then who's he throwing to? I mean, you take A.J. Brown away really from the start in 2019. A.J. Brown's a rookie. That kind of coincided with – it was Tannehill taking over. It was the offensive line gelling, but then it was also A.J. Brown going from nice, explosive rookie to, oh, he's got to be on the field every snap, you know, and he becoming a real standout, consistent player. All that stuff happened together. He's basically had A.J. Brown every snap, other than, you know, the game here and there that A.J. misses, but basically as quarterback here, he's had A.J. Brown, and now he doesn't. What does that mean? It's not good. So I think Tannehill could respond this year and do everything you want mentally and do and give you his best that he can give you, and it still may not show up in, like, gaudy numbers because of the offense just being kind of middle of the road now.
Well, you brought up the PUP list earlier with Monty Rice being on it. There were a couple of guys not on it that stood out to me, and I know Buck has put something out at A to Z Sports highlighting this as well. No Robert Woods, no Caleb Farley on the PUP list. I don't think it's necessarily unexpected, but it's pretty good news for the Titans that both those guys are able to go. You know, as a Packers fan, watching David Bakhtiari end up back on the PUP list 19 months after he got injured and tore an ACL, it could be worse. Like, so you always think that, like, we thought Robert Woods was trending in the right direction. You know, Caleb Farley, they were bringing him along slow this offseason. You never really know until training camp's ready, and they could get out there, and maybe they're not as ready as we thought. But those two not being on the PUP list, pretty big deal.
Yeah, and that maybe that's the difference to smaller guys and bigger guys, ACLs. And, of course, the Titans have two bigger guys who, by all accounts, are totally past the ACL stuff, and Luan and Dupree. But that's a tough one for the Packers, and it is a big deal for the Titans to have those guys. I guess I'd still kind of expect maybe some limitations just imposed by Vrabel, but maybe not. I don't know. They did more in the spring than I thought, for sure. So it's hugely important that Robert Woods, even though he's a veteran, I think he and Tannehill have good chemistry and all that stuff, they're going to be fine. It's still, you got to get those reps together. So that'll be very good for the Titans. And then Farley, there are other options there, and maybe rookie Roger McCreary is going to push. It'll be really interesting to see where he plays, where he starts, where they move him around. But Farley out there to get a whole camp, or mostly a whole camp, that could be big, because he could be the elevator for this defense if he's actually ready to play like the Titans thought he would play when they drafted him.
Dennis on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, says, how much of Tannehill's downturn was losing Arthur Smith last year?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, Dennis, and it always has to be thrown into the conversation for sure. I'm sure a significant part. I think Arthur Smith had a great feel for who he was as a player, and they just obviously seemed to have a great partnership. I don't know that I'm looking at last year and primarily blaming Todd Downing. I think there are a lot of factors last year in the offense not being what it was supposed to be, and some of it is like Julio Jones not being close to what he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we know about all the other injuries and everything. But, yeah, I can't possibly put a number on it, but it was something. And now this year, what does it mean to now have Kelly in as passing game coordinator?
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel will say nothing when you ask him about it, but it could be significant. They need to be better on all fronts offensively.
Well, how much to that point, I don't know if pressure is the right word, but I guess that's the only word I can think of right now. How much pressure is on Downing this year in terms of what this could mean for his future in this league as an offensive coordinator?
Yeah, it's interesting because
it is different from the Schwartz perspective from this. Like, it kind of feels like you have a potential replacement right behind you at this point if you're Todd Downing.
Well, you had a guy who the Titans were interested in, I think, when they hired Downing, at least talking to, and were blocked. So it is very different. Jim Schwartz will probably move on and be a DC somewhere, I would guess. Like, he'll want to get back into it. Maybe not, but this really was sort of like, stay in the game, but not all the way for a little bit. But for Tim Kelly, this is just, you know, their staff got fired, and he's a guy who wants to be an OC in this league.
Yeah.
So now if they work well together, they can both benefit. Because you're still, you know, you can't give all – if this is a surprisingly good year offensively like last year's defense was, I don't think it'll be exactly the same where it's kind of like, well, Shane Bowen – you know, Shane Bowen deserves that credit, and he was in a tough spot last year. And, yeah, Schwartz helps a little bit. This year would be more like, wow, the partnership. It's almost like co-OCs. Whether it's fair or not, that's how I think it'll be viewed. But, again, they both still benefit from that. And, yeah, I think if it goes poorly, then it certainly won't help him moving forward. If it goes really well, that's how this league is. It's like, well, then he'll get on head coach lists.
Yeah.
I mean, the Titans.
Doesn't take long in this league.
It does not, but it can go both ways quickly.
Yep, no question about it. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. We're going to take a little bit of a different approach today with the Rex Rant, but we'll have that coming up on the other side. Join 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding area. With school coming back, we're taking donations to provide kids with shoes for this school year, but we can't do it without you, so please consider helping however you can by going to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Let's do some good this summer, and thank you for your help. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group, a proud sponsor of Souls for Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville start at Newton. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Baby, what song you make me want to roll my windows down and cruise.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to do something a little bit different today on the Rex Rant. Obviously, a very sad day in our city yesterday with the passing of Mark Howard. Joe, we've talked about this a few different times already on the program today, but not enough good things you could say about Mark Howard. I will turn it over to you with today's edition of the Rex Rant, especially for Mark Howard.
Yep, just ranting about Mark Howard, but really other people ranting about him, and I guess they're not really ranting. But the thing that strikes me about Mark Howard, apart from the fact that he was outstanding at his jobs and I liked him very much, is how many people are saying similar things about him now. So some examples of that. So Jonathan Hutton last night, this is actually all taken from Twitter. It's where Twitter can sometimes be good. Jonathan Hutton, quote, "I owe him a lot, as do so many in this business." Teresa Walker responding to David Beauclair's tweet about Mark Howard passing away. Quote, "My heart hurts reading this. Mark was the first in local media to compliment my work covering the new NFL team in town. Never told him how much of that and treating me like an equal meant to me. Prayers for his son Jack and his family," end quote. Paul Kaharsky wrote a good piece about Mark Howard on paulkaharsky.com. I'm going to quote part of it. He's talking about how Kaharsky really got into radio was going over and doing hits on the Wake Up Zone. And quote, "Their show was a real launching pad for me when it turned into my own show in the Midday 180 with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow on January 9th, 2012. I said on the air how grateful I was to those guys for what they did for me. I know Frank like to take credit for discovering me, but I wouldn't have been there if it was not for Mark." And later says, "Mark Howard was a good man who gave a lot to Nashville and gave a lot to me." Chris Martell talking about his early days of trying to, you know, to cover the Preds. And of course, you know this well, having been there, you know, with him step for step during a lot of those years. Quote, "He told me before one spot unsolicited to keep my head up, keep working hard, keep writing my stories, and that they were better than I thought. It's something I never forgot, always carried with me, especially in the harder parts of my career. Mark advocated for me every single chance I got. And later said, I can't overstate how important this man was to my career in sports. Alex Doherty, A to Z Sports, talking similar story. He used to go, you know, talk on their show. He asked him to be on the show. He was thrilled to do it at first. Quote, this wasn't him, Mark, filling time on a four-hour show. It was him starting a conversation. He was interested, so he explored. Journalism 101. On top of that, Mark was a genuine fan of my work. Again, he wasn't just filling airtime. He would text me asking questions about what I'd written, why I held a certain belief, what I was working on next, etc. Aside from his radio personality and outward appearance, Mark Howard cared for people and was never afraid to shower praise on those that deserved it. That's hard to find in today's media world, end quote. And I'll just add, you know, for me, you know, early, and Mark wasn't the only one, you know, who was kind, but, you know, early on you come into a new city, especially if you come in and you haven't been here and you're now the columnist at the Tennessean, there's a lot of like, who's this jack wagon, you know? Why do I care about your stupid opinion? Which I knew was going to be the case, but it's still nerve-wracking and it's not easy, especially in those early days. And Mark was one of the people who, you know, early on, you know, just said something nice about a column I wrote, I think on the Preds, and, you know, it meant a lot. Someone who I knew was established here and, you know, knew what he was talking about. So I think a lot of people have similar stories. And the bottom line is, like, I don't care what you do, what your line of work is. You know, at some point you're the young person who doesn't know anything, and then you wake up one day and you're the old person who knows too much. But for all of that time, be like Mark Howard.
Yeah, I think it's very well said. And, you know, I brought this up earlier in the show. I started doing stuff with the Predators when I was 18. So I was fresh out of high school, my first year into college. You know, I created my own Predators website that nobody knew anything about, and I was just happy to be there and watching hockey, the sport that I loved, and trying to carve out a path for myself in this career. And I remember one of the coolest things was a couple months into it, my first year covering the Predators, Mark was kind of coming down the press box up there in the 300 section, and he looked at me and said, "Hey, Robbie, what's going on? How you doing?" And I just remember thinking to myself, well, that's Mark Howard. He knows who I am. He's on TV every night with the Preds. Used to be on News Channel 5. I listened to his show growing up every day on the way to school, like, and he knows who I am. That's awesome. And that it's not just me that he would do that with. Like, Mark Howard went out of his way to, I think, compliment. I think the words you used from Alex Doherty and Martell are right. Like, compliment those who deserved it, who put in the work. And he was also just genuinely interested in different perspectives when it came to the Titans, when it came to the Preds, the Vols, whoever. Like, he was a sports encyclopedia. So, I mean, I didn't spend a ton of time around him personally. I mean, obviously, he was working at a different station for a long time. You and I were brand new at this show, and he filled in with us a little bit when either you were on vacation or I was out, and he came and did some shows. We did some Titan stuff with him. He's been on as a guest before. So I got to know him a little bit more then as we would sit and talk and chat during the breaks. And the conversation was rarely about him. He would always steer it back to me as to, you know, what were my goals? What did I want to accomplish? He would offer advice of obviously years spent in the radio business, and he was always willing to lend a helping hand and offer his advice. We talked about this earlier. Like, you know, there were certainly some sports opinions that he had that I didn't agree with, that a lot of people didn't agree with, but he could always separate the two of, at the end of the day, you're just talking about sports. It's not really all that serious. You can disagree about, you know, the Titans quarterback or who the Preds should trade for at the deadline and still treat each other like a genuine good human being. That's what Mark Howard was really good at. So just a really sad day yesterday, but I think you summed it up well there. You want, when everything is said and done, regardless if you're in sports talk or you're a welder or whatever it is you do out there, when your time is done here on this earth, you want people to say what you meant to them personally. I mean, your job, you're not going to be able to take with you. There's a lot of things, your money, your material things you're not able to take with you. But a lot of the impact you have is, you know, what sort of an impact do you have on other people? And it's clear to me over the last 24 hours or so, as this has started to come out and people have reacted to this, that Mark Howard had a life well lived from that perspective.
Well said.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Mark Howard throughout the show. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on Mark Howard's passing and his memories of working with Mark. Also, his thoughts on the Titans as well, heading into training camp. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.